Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Born Offside. It is a very special episode because it's the fourth one of the season, but it's the first time you decide to crawl back to regular life, Kat.
I know, I was avoiding responsibility for a little while, for a couple of weeks. Mm. I feel like that player that's injured at the start of the season and then they, you know, make their season debut like weeks in and they've missed out on a lot. But yeah,
did you get it? And like, I mean, you're in Spain. You were probably where a lot of us would rather be. But did you get any FOMO of Born Offside of the couch? Not really.
Of course, no. I miss hanging out with you guys. He asked me the question, doesn't like the answer.
No, I believe it.
I think I'm very blessed to say that I love what I do. Mm. And Mondays, I love Mondays. I'm Born Offside. I get to spend time with you and Olan.
Yeah.
And the break was nice though. I definitely needed it. I think a lot of us felt a bit of that kind of hangover after the World Cup.
Mm.
So it was nice to go back to Spain, where I used to live, reconnect with friends, practice my Spanish.
Ooh, how's it going?
It's pretty good, actually.
Is there anything you want to say to the audience in Spanish? Because we have a bit of a Spanish-speaking audience.
I mean, I can say...
Do you want to just give them a message from you?
Maybe we'll do it at the end. Oh, we'll do a Spanish message at the end.
No. Okay.
We'll do a Spanish message at the end. But no, I had a great time. Like, amazing. It was the best. But I definitely missed being back.
Yeah.
It's a shame, though, that... We are missing.
Well, no one knows where Olan is. And
he's actually gone missing.
He was in Bali this weekend. Credit to him. He needed his rest.
He did.
And he was working hard for that Bali photo. He was working hard on his body and he got the photo.
Do you know what? The outfit was top notch.
Yeah. You know Mr. Techers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Anyway, though, he hasn't turned up today. Now, as far as I know, Olan got the red eye flight back. He should be here. Mm. He is in Sydney. I know he's in Sydney.
Do we know for sure that
he's in Sydney? I know he's in Sydney. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he was flying out last night.
Because I wouldn't blame him if he thought I'm going to extend a couple of days.
Oh, if he's in Bali, fair play. But if you're in Sydney, you get here and you do the pod.
Yeah. Because I came in last week off my 27-hour journey home
and you came
to
in.
Record with you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Something
right.
else.
Yes.
So there's no excuse.
There's no excuse. I want to give him a call and see if he answers here.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Live on the pod because he owes everyone an apology if he does answer. He not just us, but he owes all you guys an apology.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. He's not going to answer. He's going to dodge me because he knows I'm going to try and get him to come in. He thinks, oh, shit. I know he's awake too.
He's
he
asleep?
Liked something. I sent him something on Instagram and he like double tapped it. So he's awake. What? Can you believe this guy?
I can though.
You can, huh?
Yeah.
What a lazy shit. Olan, this is what you get, mate. I'm just like throwing it out there for everyone to know that you've dogged not only us but the whole audience today. So there you go.
Not available.
No message.
The person you're calling has avoided your call.
I do love him though. Maybe he'll call back during the pod. We'll get him on. No,
it's
Olan
all
Deckers.
Love. It's all love.
It's all love. We're going to have a special guest, producer Hamish, because also producer Shabs is in Europe.
He's having a beautiful time.
He's having a great time. So producer Hamish, which you guys have actually seen on the show before, he's going to pop in a bit later on to talk all things European football. We're going to start with the local stuff because we keep doing it in reverse order. But now the A-League's not too far away. We've had some Australia Cup action, Sydney FC, cruise past Western United, Brisbane beating the Wanderers. But the ones that I really want to talk about was Melbourne Knights. Massive win for them. Means that we have an NPL team in the semi-final. They scored two late goals to get past Heidelberg. The other one, though, Melbourne City. I don't know if you saw much of this. Melbourne City beat Metro Stars.
Mm.
Metro Stars, South Australian team, hardworking team. It was a late winner, penalty as well. And they carried on a little bit, Kat. So you had Terry Antonis shushing the local NPL audience and giving it these ones when you are the richest club in the league.
I mean, give it a rest.
Do you think this is a little bit offside from Melbourne City?
Absolutely.
Should they be more humble or is football football? No matter who you're playing, you're allowed to be a bit of a grub.
I mean, when you look at it like that, football's football.
Yeah,
and like you're that competitive nature is always going to take over in those moments.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of cool in a sense to see that a win at that level against that kind of team to them is enough to do that. Like they're that hyped about it. They're that serious about it. Because you often see people going like, oh, but it's just an Australia Cup game.
Or
they were playing an NPL team. The win doesn't mean as much. But that kind of suggests that it was obviously a challenge.
Yeah, well, I think it's almost like respect for Metro Stars. Yeah. Like they should take it as a compliment. The fact that they cared so much, that they were shitting themselves so much that they were going to lose to you. And then they scored a scrappy pen and then they've celebrated and gone off in front of you and blah, blah, blah. It means they respect you as a valid opposition.
It's definitely respect.
It is. Yeah, I'd take it. But the other thing that happened, and this is a question coming from Joe K Football, on a scale of 1 to 10, how petty is Melbourne City ghosting Metro Stars after the quarterfinal? So apparently Metro Stars had a meal ready for them after the game and they just got on the bus and left. They stood them up, Kat. You ever been stood up?
No.
No, you never been like, wait, you ever stood someone up?
No. Absolutely not.
But I don't know.
Absolutely not. That's just appalling behavior. My trick with not being stood up is like if you send that text message the day that you're supposed to meet someone and they don't reply.
You don't go.
The date's not happening.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of people who get stood up, it's because they just decide they're going to show up and hope that the person also comes.
Nah, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You validate on the day, hey, we're still on for tonight. You do those ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously they didn't do that. That's clearly what Metro Stars had
to do. Didn't send
just
that
like,
text.
Hey, baby, still on? Like while they're in the other changing room, we're still on for dinner after the game, X. That didn't happen. Melbourne City left. But apparently what happened, they were getting fed on online. But
not food.
Not food. Well, they probably had, I mean, Melbourne City, you'd think they could afford a nice cuisine after the game. Apparently they released their football director tweeted saying, we fully intended to stay. However, you should ask some of your senior officials who abuse our players, staff and insulting our club after the game and then why you'd expect us to feel welcome. It's disgraceful behavior. So there's clearly beef here.
There's beef.
And I love it.
Yeah, you love some beef. Well, we all love beef.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm a beef person. Burger, beef.
I like a chicken burger.
Yeah, see, I can tell. You always sit on the fence. That's why I can tell. But I love it. It means this is what the Australia Cup's about because these are clubs, you know, Melbourne City, with all due respect, I know Victory is their rival, but they play Victory how many times a year?
Yeah, absolutely.
You never played Metro Stars. So now you've got a new rivalry, a newfound rivalry.
This is what I love about the Australia Cup. That's and we followed, last season so intently. And obviously I've been away, but now that we're kind of at the nitty gritty end, I will be absolutely following it.
Yeah.
I love the storylines that come out of it because you actually do see so much of this tension that didn't exist between these clubs before.
Yeah. And you'll know Metro Stars now.
Yeah.
You know, you'll know a team from the NPL of South Australia that why would you know if you've never even been to South Australia, but now you know. It's great. It's great for the game. Let's keep it local, but we're kind of going overseas because Kyra Cooney-Cross.
I know.
Has signed for Arsenal.
How good's this?
She's the third Matilda now.
Yeah.
At that team.
Did you
currently see
their TikTok that they released?
I don't understand that trend.
I don't know where it came from.
Right.
I just think it's great.
It was a cute little dance.
Yeah.
She's great on TikTok.
To be honest, like quite a few of the Matildas have like a solid TikTok following and whatever. But I've got to say, after the World Cup, I think Arsenal is my women's team.
Yeah.
I love Steph Catley, massive fan of hers. She's just an absolute legend.
She's ice cold.
And I love that they've signed Kyra Cooney-Cross. And it happened in the final moments. I think they almost potentially missed the deadline, but obviously the medical happens soon enough.
We spoke, when we were at Optus, doing the show every day, we spoke a lot about the influence of Ian Wright even being here.
Yes.
He kept tweeting about her specifically.
Yeah,
he was a big fan. He was a big fan of her and he was like, Arsenal, have a look. And then he's already posted with a Cooney-Cross jersey. I wonder if he had an impact
on
Arsenal picking her up.
I think endorsement from players like that is so crucial to get them. It's not to say that she wasn't on the radar, but they might go, you know what, like there's something in this.
Yeah.
It's not just about the football at the end of the day. It's what can she bring to the club?
Exactly.
She's got this kind of like cult following now from Ian Wright.
Yeah.
Because all his fans now like her.
Like her as well. Yeah. It's amazing. So she'll be greeted with open arms. Fantastic young player.
And the fee was very high as well for women's football.
What was the fee? £320,000 British pounds.
Yeah.
Apparently you're going to quiz me on expensive
signings. What do you think is the most expensive WSL signing or women's football signing?
Who
or
how much?
How much?
Do you know who it was?
Yeah.
Was it recent?
Relatively, yeah.
Who would have signed recent? It would have probably been Chelsea, yeah? Chelsea forked it out? No. City?
No.
Really? I don't know. What was the player, firstly?
It's Kira Walsh.
Oh. I don't think it's £1 million.
No.
No, I would say it's about 600,000.
No, it's less.
Really?
Yeah. This is the crazy thing is you're looking at players like Neymar and whatever, signing for hundreds of millions of dollars or pounds or euros.
Yeah.
Kira Walsh was the biggest signing in women's football, and it was £470,000.
Wow, so like Cooney Cross is not far off.
Yes, there's only maybe five or six that have actually broken that 300K barrier.
A lot of them go for nothing, right? Because they finish their contract and they just walk.
Yeah, they go mid.
It's an interesting one.
Not to go mid-contract or something like that.
Obviously, the salaries are still a way off the men, but the salaries have increased. And like some players are getting paid quite well.
Yeah.
The transfer fees haven't though. And I wonder if that's got something to do with like worldwide appeal.
Probably.
Like I think when you sign a $50 million player, you maybe have in mind the marketing potential of that player and how many jerseys you're going to sell around the world.
Definitely. Like my theory is that, you know, if Sam Kerr ever decides to change teams, she'll probably break the transfer fee.
Yeah.
Because what comes with that is a lot more than Sam on your team.
Because I've always thought like, Neymar, I remember, like Neymar went for 220 million from Barca to Paris.
Yeah.
220 million. And I always thought about this. I thought Neymar's he's a better player than me. He's significantly better than me.
I'd say so.
Significantly better.
Yeah. Objectively, definitely.
I would say Neymar is 50 times better than me.
Okay.
Maybe even 100.
So you're going to say that you're still.
But hold on. What I'm saying is, you can't tell me Neymar, physically as a footballer, and this is for not just me, I'm not just saying myself, I'm saying everyone listening to this pod, is Neymar 220 times better than me? And even if he was, that means I'm worth a million. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's not. It's the marketing potential.
It's crazy.
I wouldn't
right?
sell as many
it's
jerseys.
Absolutely crazy.
I don't think
but
I would.
Yeah, well, on that, I obviously having just been in Spain, I wanted to see football while I was there.
Yeah.
It was the international break, so I didn't see the men play. But then when I wanted to see the Barca women play, they were protesting.
That's right.
So there were no games on that weekend because they were protesting the wage.
I mean, it's great that they're protesting, but it sucks that you're in town for 1 week.
Spanish love a protest at the moment. I was like, come on, guys.
So that's obviously ongoing, but you were there for the sacking of Rubiales. You were there for the sacking of Jorge Vilda.
Yes.
What?
All
like,
of it. I was there 2 days after the final. So I was at the final.
Yeah.
I saw the Spanish girls walking through. I saw Jenny Hermoso. Like after everything, it was kind of crazy because at the time, everyone was really focused on Olga and how she lost her father.
Yes,
and obviously the kiss had happened, but it wasn't the headlines.
Yeah.
But then by the time, you know, 48 hours later when I was in Spain, it was all about Hermoso, it was all about Rubiales and the kiss and everything that was taking place.
Yeah.
And every conversation that I had.
Okay, so people were really invested.
Oh, everybody
I'm
was
talking
talking
like the
about
average
it.
Joes down at your local
I
bar.
I was only with, like, I wasn't with football people. Okay. I was with my friends from back there. They come from small towns.
Yeah.
I was having lunch with their families where there's a massive language barrier, but the conversations were about Rubiales.
So it was national news.
It was about everything that was happening.
Yeah.
And I think the.
Was the common consensus everyone wanted these guys out?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I think a lot of it, like those who were a little bit more in the know were like, oh, you know, we've had issues for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the one thing was, you know, the world's looking now. So it's not the issues that were previously an issue of the Spanish Federation, an issue that Spanish players had, had now become world news.
Yeah, it's a bad
and
look for
everyone
Spain,
was
man.
Watching
like
them.
You think,
yeah.
Like, no, you don't want to generalize.
It's a really bad look.
But you think Italy, Portugal, Spain, France, these like, you know, southwestern European countries should be.
La Liga is meant
be
to be one
forward.
Of the biggest. I mean, it is one of the biggest leagues in the world.
Yeah,
it's globally recognized, and it's.
Were you there when Greenwood signed for Getafe?
Just after, so that came up as well.
Yeah,
which I just think like.
What were people saying about that?
Less so because, I mean, the women's stuff was taking
was
over
bigger,
the news, but it was definitely. I just saw a lot of memes about it, honestly, which is the sad reality of media these days is like everybody just couldn't believe. It's the La Liga, it's got this reputation for racism and now it's like, oh, now sexual harassment and things like that don't matter as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
It's scary. I mean, he got abused in his game this weekend. Well,
he played his first minutes.
He came
well.
In. Yeah, it was a big win for them actually. They scored late to win that 1-3-2. But he came in late and they were chanting, apparently they were chanting, die Greenwood, die.
Oh.
I think it was a pocket of German fans just saying the Greenwood the. That's what I think it was.
The Greenwood.
You know what? I don't actually think they were telling him to. But anyway, that's just me.
Who knows? But it is.
But producer Hamish liked that one.
He liked that one.
But regardless, apparently he's the most sold jersey in Getafe history. You know? So
that's
I don't know. A time will tell what happens there.
While I was away, this is really off topic, but I finally watched the documentary about Aaron Hernandez, the NFL player murdered all these people. And the one thing it did make me think about when it comes to like every other sport is like when you've purchased a jersey of a player that now has a reputation like that. There was this one guy in the documentary who was like, my surname is Hernandez and now I can't even wear a jersey with my own name on it because I feel ashamed.
Yeah.
And like to see that like the Greenwood jerseys are going crazy in Spain. It's just
weird, right?
It doesn't sit well with me at all.
No. Like why would, yeah. It's just, it's kind of a comment on. Yeah.
Not to rehash too much of like the whole Rubiales thing because it is progressing, but being there at that time, you also saw the other side of it, which was the fact that, you know, like the video came out of Jenny and the team kind of laughing about what had happened on the bus. And it's so typical that people who are pro Rubiales and pro the Spanish Federation and everything like that were using that as proof that this was some kind of plot to get rid of them and to do whatever they needed to do. But like seeing that side of it too was really frustrating as well. Mm. The good news is no one I was with felt like that. So I didn't have to like argue with anyone.
No.
It was a pretty crazy time to be in Spain, to be honest.
Insane. Crazy time. It seems like it's getting resolved, but like you said, the protests are going on as well, so there's still a lot going on there. A couple of Aussies bagged some goals. Katrina Gori scored a weldy over there in Sweden. Connor Metcalf scored a rocket as well for
San
Paoli.
Insane.
Yeah, good to see how Aussies taking pings from outside the box.
And because Jackson was off.
Yeah, he stuffed his ankle back.
Yeah, so we had – it was nice to see him, Metcalf, jump in and do that.
Exactly right. The young Aussie popping up and doing something. We've got to talk a little bit about Ange Postecoglou. We'll probably talk about him later because I know a lot of our fan questions came in, which we are going to get to a bit later on in the show. He won Manager of the Month in his first month in the Premier League. That's huge.
Yeah.
What's even bigger than that? He was nominated for the FIFA Best Manager in the World Award. Crazy. Only five managers. This is crazy. I almost I'm so happy. For me, managers are more important than players.
Oh, no, for
I'll get to that a bit later on. But I'm really happy that he got nominated. I was a bit surprised. I'm not gonna lie, a bit surprised.
What's surprising? How quickly it's happened?
I just
like,
was surprised
is this like a next season thing?
Nominated for winning with Celtic. No disrespect on the Scottish Premiership, but I just thought.
Well, he's 50 games unbeaten now.
He's got that home record now.
Across all of those.
Yeah, it's crazy. Teams, but I think popularity has had a lot to do with it with Ange. I think he's so popular. Take away his results, like take away all that. Because if you look at like the impact of like a Roberto De Zerbi on Brighton, I know he doesn't have the trophies to go with it, whereas Ange has Scottish trophies. But like what De Zerbi's done, arguably he'd be almost
insane. Oh, I mean, producer Mish and I were talking about this before. Mm. I am the biggest fan of De Zerbi because – he hasn't really had to change much of this Brighton squad.
He's a freak, yeah.
But he's changed them completely. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he
doesn't have the squad that United and Liverpool and these guys have on paper, but like, what he's been able to do with them is crazy.
It's crazy. If you followed his journey, he's done brilliant everywhere he's been. Like, his Sassuolo team was so good and was punching way above Sassuolo's weight.
Yeah.
And they dropped off massively now. Shakhtar, short-lived because of the war. But then now he's at Brighton and he's also punching way above his weight. But he's not at clubs that are even really going to come close to a trophy. Whereas Ange, to all his credit, has picked clubs that can win trophies as well.
That's
Yokohama, he got that trophy. Celtic, he got trophies.
Yeah.
Now is his real challenge because this is a club that's usually trophy challenged.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But it's incredible. It's him, Xavi, Guardiola, Inzaghi and Spalletti.
How crazy.
Nominated.
What a lineup.
It's
and Ange Postecoglou.
To have an Australian there.
I have to say, I love how he's been treating the media, how he's been giving so much in press conferences, like his depth of answers. Mm. I think people love listening to him.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing.
Funny, man. Yeah.
I think we haven't seen a character like that in the Premier League for quite some time.
Mm.
You've either got managers who are just like, you know, saying the same thing all the time or not speaking.
Yeah.
And now you've got an Ange who's kind of leaving a little anecdote for you every week.
Yeah. And he's funny, man. I think it's great. It's doing incredible things for Australian football. Every country, not every country, but most countries have a player that rolls into the Prem at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you can produce a great player, but to produce a great manager doesn't happen.
Different.
I mean, even the English.
Yeah.
I mean, how many good managers do England produce? Well, you say the best manager at the moment is what, Eddie Howe?
Yeah, but that's the point is most of the Premier League managers who have succeeded are foreign.
Are foreign. Here's a fact for you. I mean, a lot of people probably know this fact, but there might be some people that don't know if you know this, Cap, but an English manager's never won the Premier League.
I have heard that
before. Right, the last English manager to win was with Leeds in 92, the year before the Prem. So we're talking 30 years of history now. An English manager hasn't won it. And so to go in there as an Australian where everyone thinks you just play AFL and, you know, you ride kangaroos to school – it's massive for him to go there and have this impact.
Don't give our secrets away.
Man, you ever got asked that in Spain? Surely.
Of course.
Yeah.
They think we have kangaroos in the backyard.
Yeah. Spiders and crocodiles and everything.
Well, we do have those. Like, we do have spiders.
Yeah, we do have spiders, yeah. It's almost spider season as well. Get
ready. I don't want to think
about
it.
Get ready. Let's go to some international news. Saudi Arabia. I love talking about Saudis.
Yes.
They're just, it's something different.
Yeah.
You know, whether you agree with it or not, it's just this new zone that we're focusing on.
I have to say, and forgive my ignorance. Yeah. I did not know that there was a Saudi Women's League. And we're in our second season.
This is what we're about to talk about. It's fantastic. If Saudis, think about it, everyone criticizes Saudi, right? Because like, fuck you guys, you're giving guys too much money. You're doing all this shit. Imagine Saudis start to give that money out to female players, the money that they probably should be getting in Europe. They started giving it to them in the Saudi League. Imagine how the difference in tone.
But the average wage in Saudi is just naturally going to be so much higher than what they can offer in Europe. I mean, I told you, right? Like the Barca girls didn't play.
Yeah.
Or no one played that weekend because they were fighting for a minimum wage. How much do you think the minimum wage is to play in La Liga or in the women's league in Spain?
Probably about 30,000 euros.
They have now made it 27,000 euros.
Right, yeah.
So that's what we're working with here.
Yeah.
And I know, and I can hear, I can already hear all the like, oh, but it's women's football, like no one attends. It's a different story in Spain. Like people do attend.
Yeah.
Especially they do have the revenue.
Barca filling up Nou Camp.
Yeah.
You can't be filling up Nou Camp on 27 grand a year.
Like granted, it's a farmer's league.
What do you mean? Oh, because they dominate everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like if Barca weren't
Yeah, but so is the men's one.
It's an absolute sh.
Let's be real, there's two teams that win it.
La Liga is a farmer's league. Did you see the Barca?
We both work at Optusport, shut up. No, I'm joking. Well, you can have a laugh. It's like the Bundesliga is a farmer's league, but it's not.
No, it's still amazing football.
Yeah. But the Premier League's a farmer's league. City going
to
win it again.
To be honest, they're all farmer's leagues. Exactly. But I was surprised by the score overnight with Barca Real Betis being like 4-0.
5-0, yeah, crazy. 5-0. Yeah, crazy.
Anyway, it's not a farmer's league.
No, it's not. but anyway, we're going to talk about that with Ashley Plumptre. I don't like when the R comes before the E. I don't know how to say it.
It's kind of like plump tree, but there's only one E at the end.
I see it like Plumptre.
That's incorrect.
Okay. Well, Plumptre.
She's amazing though. Like she went crazy during the World Cup.
She had a really good World Cup and she was really passionate with her posts, with the press conferences and stuff. Anyway, she signed for Al Ittihad in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And this has made, you know, global shockwaves, of course, because a lot of people didn't know that the Saudis had a women's league. Al Nassr won it last year. But I've got good news for you. I had a look at the league and I know you were thinking of making a comeback to football.
Yeah.
And I actually think you could play in the Saudi Women's League.
I think they'd love my surname.
Do you know what I mean? Like you suit the vibes. You got that Arabian flair about you. And there's a team here that I reckon would pick you up. So I had a look at the table.
Oh, here we go.
I had a look at the table from last year and Al Nassr won it. Credit to them. You know, Ronaldo's team.
It's obviously not them, is it?
Al Ittihad were mid-table and now they've signed Ashley Plumptre. So let's see how that goes. Yeah. Cool, bottom of the league is 8-team competition. Mm-hmm. Al Bayrak. Right, Al Bayrak, they only played 14 games in the season. You play everyone twice. That's it.
Excellent.
14 matches. They finished with 0 points. They scored one goal. They conceded 173 goals, Kat. They have a goal difference of minus 172 in 14 games. I'm no mathematician. 173, I'm going to use my calculator, divided by 14. They averaged 12.3 goals a game conceded. I think you can go sign for them.
I think they need me.
I think you can go play for them.
I think they need me. And although like some may interpret what you're saying as really rude.
Why?
Because that's fucking hopeless.
It's not like you play for fucking Sydney FC, Kat.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
But also, that's the thing. Okay, hypothetical. Would you rather play for like a Sydney FC and like make, you know, minimum wage,
right?
Or play for a team like that's conceding 12 goals a game and make a shit ton of money?
I'll probably make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But I'd hope that I can try and make a change. Like any impact.
Can you make a change?
Kat, you're a number 9. Yeah. They scored one goal last
year.
Yeah,
I could score more.
If you rocked up
than
and
one
scored one, you're equaling last year's team record.
Yeah. I'm getting a trophy on trophy night.
Do you know what I mean? You're getting MVP for one goal.
You know what? Let's make it happen.
There you go. There you go. Next thing you know, Kat Haddad will sign for Al Bayrak in Saudi Pro League. Let's make it happen.
Ana Al Bayrak. You know that video that Steven Gerrard did?
That was the worst. Stevie G.
Ana Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Ana El Atifati. I don't even remember what he said. It was so funny.
The memes on that. Oh man, the memes were brilliant.
Anyway, I'll make my own version of that.
Sticking in Spain, because you were just there. There was a story that came out about Sevilla. So Sevilla played this morning, yesterday, depending when you're listening to the pod. They finally had their first win. Ramos started, Sergio Ramos, which is amazing. You're a big Sergio Ramos fan.
I wasn't growing up, right. Like, because of the whole Real Madrid Barca thing.
Barca, aren't you?
And he always just like...
I love him. He's great.
Do you know what though? I've not only is he just beautiful to look at.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unnecessary. I didn't need to say it, but I did.
Mm. Yeah, it's fine. I can't say it, but you can apparently. It's fine. No, carry on. Tell Olan that one. Me and Olan can't say someone's beautiful, but you can. That's cool.
Yep. Like, I've gained a lot of respect for him as a player with this decision that he's made.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's refreshing. Like, we haven't seen enough of that happening in any league, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know we were just talking about Saudi and players moving over there, but like, there is a part of it that like still is a little bit sad to me.
Mm.
Like, I do miss the presence of these players, especially the ones that are moving over like way too young.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I just needed to say it because it happened while I was over there. But I'm so glad that Ramos signed.
He accepted $1 million instead of 20 if he would have gone to Saudi.
But then look at the way he's been received. Like, look at the applause that he gets when he walks in the stadium. Like, to me, that would be priceless feel like that when you're there.
Apparently some Sevilla fans were not happy with the signing.
Yeah, but that's always going
to
be.
Because he left Sevilla young to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But it's Real Madrid and they come knocking. But apparently they never forgave him for that. A couple times he scored against Sevilla, he celebrated. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
But they can just like, what? They can get over it.
Okay. Well, they're going to get over it if he keeps keeping clean sheets because he did. But that's not right why I bring this game up. So 15 Las Palmas players missed the plane to go to Sevilla. So they had to go to Sevilla to play this match.
What were they
15
doing?
15 players and two physios missed the plane because they went to get a coffee and they got lost on the way back in the airport. And the plane took off without him. This is La Liga footballers. Again, footballers, they get a bad rap, Kat.
Yeah.
Stories like this don't help. You know, they got lost.
They got lost.
But the coffee's important.
Oh, like I get that.
You know, the coffee before the flight.
I get that, but it's
– Yeah, that ever happened to you? You ever missed a flight?
No. I mean, I've run for flights.
You've run for flights, yeah.
I've slept through a flight once though. Like I never got there at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was pretty bad,
shit.
Actually. Yeah. That's why I have like – like whenever I have a flight in the morning, I just cannot sleep because of that one.
Because of that one time you had that, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, missed the flight. Nah, I've been called over the thing. I was in the toilet, like, oh shit. That was once. Yeah, and another time they said, oh, the flight's delayed, so I went to have a wine, and then they changed their mind and they fixed the plane, and they're getting angry at me.
Like,
anyway,
what do you expect?
So I actually feel for these guys because it happens.
I do too, especially if you're like needing that coffee. It's like early morning.
Surely you can find them though. Like you're missing 15 Las Palmas players.
What airport was it? Do we know? Was it the...
Leaving them to go to Sevilla. So there, wherever.
So the airport that they're at all the time.
That's what I mean.
That's so bad. It's not like they're in...
They're not in Sevilla going back.
They're not in some no-name airport they've never been to before.
They're in their home airport.
No, there's no excuse for that. Like,
no. Yeah. Anyway.
No way.
But they got there and lost, so it was clearly worth it. Another man who's now former La Liga, I guess, tore that, did everything he could do in that league. Now he's in the MLS, Lionel Messi. Crazy what's happening over there. Didn't play their most recent game. They lost to Atlanta. Cool team. Atlanta. Probably the coolest stadium in the league for a lot of people. But there's something about that stadium that isn't cool, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But before I get to that, Messi, a lot of people have been buying tickets to see this guy. He didn't play. Right? Now, people knew he wasn't going to play because the day before the game, he posted a story of a pizza that he was eating and he bought from a local pizzeria.
I saw the pizza, Claude.
I've got a photo of the pizza.
It's like a Spanish, like that's like everything that's on a table, like nibbles before a meal. But like that's not a meal.
It's tapas.
Yeah.
Just giant.
It's like the olives, the onions, the tomatoes, but like everything on a pizza is very confusing.
It's strange. It's kind of like he's just basically... He's done a margarita, but instead of tomato sauce, he's using tomato slices. And then he's gotten rid of the cheese, but he's added olives.
Yeah.
And a couple rings of
onion.
You
know what it looks a lot like? Like Lebanese manouche. Like that's what we put on top of.
There you go. Messi likes manouche.
It's all it's missing is the za'atar layer. Like it's
zata.
Got za'atar.
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 Brilliant. Sounds like Jafar is the bad guy in Aladdin, not za'atar. But he clearly, that's what he wanted. He just wanted a Lebo pizza, man. Everyone's like complaining about his pizza. He just misses the manouche in Paris.
Yeah. That's so fair.
Anyway, he loved it. Yeah. He seemed to love it. And that's when people knew he wasn't going to play. So what happened was Atlanta beat him and then.
The pizza signified that he wasn't playing.
Well, he wasn't traveling with the team because he was busy having pizza somewhere. That's when they knew he wasn't traveling. Yep. But Atlanta, when they beat them 5-2, I think the final score was, they said something about you can have your pizza and go back to Miami or something like that. Like they'll gene him up about his pizza and they reposted it. Now, there's the conspiracy theories as to why he didn't play. Okay. He was ruled out with fatigue. But this was the first game he was set to play on a synthetic pitch.
Doesn't like the synthetic.
Apparently he doesn't like synthetic for
don't blame
his,
him.
For his body.
In Atlanta too?
Atlanta's
imagine
pitch
how
is synthetic.
Hot it would get.
So this is my thing. Onside or offside, Lionel Messi choosing what surface he wants to play on.
I mean, at this point.
No
like,
other player gets to choose.
What is this? What
should
is this?
Lionel Messi be allowed to choose what type of grass he plays on?
Where do we draw the line with Messi though? I feel like this man's been dictating his career for a while now.
So you think it's fine? He can just, if it's synthetic, I'm going to sit this one out.
I don't think it's okay. I just think he can.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
He's just at that level.
Yeah. It's like, well, who's going to argue with him?
Well, I mean, this doesn't come out. So when he signed, they asked him, they said, you know, are you okay? You're going to be playing on synthetic pitches. And he said, I grew up playing on synthetic pitches. I'll adapt again. But of course he said that in the media. So far, 11 games he's played, they've all been on grass. This was the first one. He's got a few more to go. I think there's six teams in the MLS that play on synthetic.
Well, the real test will be the next time they face synthetic.
Yeah, if he's injured
and
again.
And if he's eating pizza again.
Yeah, yeah, then you know that's the issue. And I don't blame him.
Me neither. You are not a fan of the old
synthetic. Anyone that plays in the NPL anywhere will know that it's all synthetic and it's garbage for your body.
Yeah.
It's so shit.
It's so hot. Like the soles of your feet as well.
That
like
too,
it feels disgusting.
Yeah, if you're playing in the middle of Aussie summer, 100% it's bad. But even just, it's just it doesn't give. It's bad for the joints. It sucks. Completely unrelated, but Aaron Rodgers made news. New York Jets quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. First week of the NFL, he did his Achilles on synthetic. Jackson Irvine, of course, did his ankle badly on the synthetic pitch that Australia played on against Mexico. So it's been a lot of calls for people saying that at the highest level, you shouldn't be playing on plastic
grass.
I
agree with that.
There's so much money in the game, you should be able to keep a good grass pitch.
I completely agree with that.
And I agree
with
that.
And also somewhere like Atlanta where there's like, I mean, I don't know everything about Atlanta, but I know that more or less it's a decent climate. Like it's warmer than it is cold.
Yeah. You've been really a weather lady on this one. Yeah,
Really?
The heat is really your problem with the synthetic pitch.
No, I'm talking about like maintaining.
Maintaining the grass.
Yeah, I hadn't made my point yet.
Is there rainfall in Atlanta?
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I would say there's enough to grow some grass.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know why they don't. We've got to find...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All righty, picking back up. We got Producer Mish.
Yeah, hello.
Has jumped in on the couch. Now, why do we bring Producer Mish in?
Ball knowledge.
So
you do actually have really good ball knowledge.
Yeah, Mish has got great ball knowledge. He just stays up all night watching footy. Yeah. He's a Newcastle fan. He's also an official licensed referee, which is why I'm excited to have you on.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also a we can't call it FIFA anymore, but you are EA Sports FC
streamer.
Content creator.
Yeah, I got a TikTok page. Check
big,
it out.
Big TikTok.
It's got a
page
solid following as well.
Yeah. So
whenever they come up, I have no idea.
No.
Yeah. You don't understand what's happening. Yeah,
yeah. Not really.
No.
No, because you're in like a niche part of the game 100%. As well.
Yeah.
See, I know that much.
Yeah. Pro clubs. It's a part of the game. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
The game's gonna come out soon.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about the refereeing?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to complete a certificate?
So just for context, Sunday League ref, I'm not like a
Yeah, but it's the
You
Everyone
have to do
had
a
to do
hour
that, right?
Training course on Zoom, and then it's a practical session.
Cool.
And then after a few things, you can move up to like different ones. You have to do different sessions for it, stuff like that. Yeah.
Jeez.
It's a schmozzle.
Yeah. Get more focus on the referees. I say. I want to see referees with Instagram 100%. Pages. You know. 100%.
I mean, it's just you're always seeing the officials making headlines. You know, in every sport, such a. It's just a position that gets everybody talking. Yeah. So it's like...
Everyone loves to
hate
him.
It's good, like you got Howard Webb has that show now and Michael Owen where they go through the things. Just little things like that. Makes it more...
Yeah.
Do you find that... I'm so sorry. I'm just hijacking this completely.
No, you just talk about refs. It's good.
I find it fascinating. Just one last question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you find that you empathize with the ref more than the average 100%. Person?
Yeah. Interesting. You just like read Twitter and it's just like...
Yeah, the refs are fucking
moron for this. It's like, well, he's a human. Like you, as long as you can justify the decisions,
you can understand the thought process.
Yeah, exactly. If you know the laws and you thought the thought process behind it.
Yeah. We've already spoken about Ange, but now we're going to go through some fan questions. Aesthetic football, not a question, just pointing out Big Ange is him.
Mm.
How far can he go? Is he a serious contender?
Yeah, everyone's talking title now.
It seems
four,
a bit too fast.
Yeah, top four, I think if Tottenham do top four, they're brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant, especially the competition there at the moment.
Yeah, big success if that's the case. Yeah. But I do want to talk to you about that Sheffield United game because the manager came out blaming the referees, saying they were appalling. So apparently, you know, the Sheffield time-wasting on goal kicks, well, it was misunderstood. The referee wasn't happy. Basically what they were doing, Kat, they were setting up to play short, taking their time, couldn't play short because Tottenham was stepping up. Mm. So then they changed their mind, would wait for their players to get forward and then kick it long. The referee apparently at halftime had a word with him in the tunnel. This is what happened, Hamish, right? And he said, just kick it long next time.
No, the Sheffield coach went
up. He said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sheffield coach went up to the ref and said, look, this is why we're going short. This is why we're taking longer on goal kicks is because we're trying to play. He actually showed him a video, according to his press conference. And yeah, the ref just told him, just kick it long.
Just kick it long next time. So the referee was giving him instructions on how to play football.
That's cold.
Surely offside.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that. We got next one from Brandon Grimmer. Is the City pool era back? Are you buying Liverpool hype? Are they the main contenders for Manchester City?
Yeah, honestly, watching them, pretty impressive. That front six, man, is ridiculous.
It's really nice.
They
really
just good. Bought themselves back into it.
We are making it hard for ourselves, though.
Yeah.
Like, no game has felt easy. Yeah.
They're struggling with their first half performances, right?
But look, it's great to see a depth of squad where you can make a couple of substitutions and win the game.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, it's in the words of Tony Gustavsson, who said this 1,000 times during the World Cup. Mm. Like the squad you finish with is just as important as the squad you start with.
Yeah.
But it's still frustrating to kind of see that there's still a few dots that aren't connecting, you know, in those earlier minutes. But yeah, like I'm happy.
Mm. It is a good time to be a Liverpool fan. Still, I guess, not a long way to go, but I think a long way to go if anyone is going to be even slightly competing over 38 weeks with Manchester City. Jordan Knight, where are Chelsea and United going wrong? Look, for Chelsea, we were talking about this before. I think Chelsea are just missing that final product. They actually don't play bad.
Yeah.
They're not a bad side, but
finishing.
It's the finishing and it's the step before the finishing.
It is,
saying,
Ian too many Wright. Young players, too much rush of blood in the final part.
Right. Yeah.
Type vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes to show how important that experience is, that's right? Like having those players that have kind of been there, done that, mixing that with the fresh talent.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how you find that perfect.
And I think that's why Sterling looks their best player. Cause like, he has
been there,
done that. Been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, his final ball is great.
I think I was watching Alan Shearer and Ian Wright talk about it, and they were saying that the problem's not the finishing, the problem's like the ball that leads to the ball that crosses. You know, it's that through ball, and it's basically what De Bruyne, Rodri, what kind of Bernardo Silva, what these guys do time and time again for City. When a team is sat back and they need that first pass to unlock, Chelsea don't have at the moment.
Mm.
And that just comes with experience. But look, focus on Brighton. The team was worth 18 million and they completely bossed
Manchester United. Yeah. Like, we've seen people like Man United fans on Twitter complaining about, there's no identity in the club and Ten Hag. It's like, bro, Brighton are playing like Tarik Lamptey left back. Yeah. All these random ass players out of position.
Yeah. And
dominating team.
Yeah, he's making them world-class players.
Yeah, 100%. And you can spend 80 mil on your Casemiro's, but the hood for free.
Yeah. Exactly right. It's amazing what they've done.
Yeah,
it's the scouting and the impact of this manager.
It goes to show, because you look at the manager turnover that we saw last season, to be able to do what De Zerbi has done with this squad, making very few changes, very few like kind of high-end changes, right?
Yeah, nothing.
He just understands the players, understands the game, is able to unlock them, get them working with each other in a way that other managers couldn't.
But I was having this conversation today. It's an incredibly well-run club.
Mm.
And it's a club that is easily the best run club in the UK and potentially the best run club in Europe at the moment, the way they're running it from the top down.
So from a managerial perspective, the way that
and
kind
that's
of
why they're
down to the foundations.
100%.
Yeah, I turned on the Chelsea game. I totally forgot that they'd bought Robert Sanchez. Like,
yeah.
And the amount of money Brighton got for their second choice goalkeeper.
Exactly. It's exactly. Like, but even letting McAllister, letting Caicedo, you're letting like two really, you'd think, key components of your midfield go to big clubs for massive amounts of money. And you just brought in new players and it just ticks. If anything, it looks better.
Mm.
It kind of looks better without him.
Mm.
It's
Gilmore's
like he knew this
great.
Whole time, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
It's amazing. And I dare say fuck it. I'm throwing it out there. Like what De Zerbi's doing with this Brighton team is up there with Leicester City. The only problem is there was no Pep City when Leicester City went on that run.
Mm.
Because this Leicester won, I believe, I don't know, I believe they won it with 81 points.
Mm.
Sounds
it was like one of the lowest.
And I think Brighton would be capable of 81 points.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the City will get in high 90s and you can't win a Premier League with 81 points when Pep
Guardiola. Yeah, something has to go really awry with City for.
Yeah, when I put in that City pool question, I had a look at the table. Mm. Yeah, like obviously Man City's up there and I was looking, Liverpool are up there, but then Brighton are Yeah.
They're on equal points, right?
Equal points. They're there. I think they're capable of an 80-point season. You know, they don't have to think about championship. Like, your boys, Newcastle, now have a lot to think about. Yeah, I don't 100%. Think they're capable of that this year. But I think Brighton are.
And that's the only thing, Europa League, when that comes in, whether or not they can.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But what's amazing, and I'd take nothing away from Leicester. That's the best story of the Premier League ever. But,
yeah, it's so good.
But, you know, Leicester did it playing their football as well. Mm. Brighton are doing it playing such attractive football. It would be incredible. If De Zerbi was to win the Premier League, it would eclipse Leicester City.
Yeah. You know? What he's doing now is almost, like, you'd argue.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it would be a refreshing change.
Yeah,
after, like,
but even just City a era. Top four. You know, if they make the Champions League, this is huge.
Yeah, 100%.
We're watching something incredible unfold. So I hope they keep going. A quick nod to the rest of Europe. Milan got absolutely hammered in the derby.
I saw that.
5-1 to Inter. That's not on over there if you know those people.
Way. Yeah, that's They're good. Angry. Good for as a Newcastle fan because we got them on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, they might bounce back. You never know how that's going to – you just think it will demoralize
Maybe they were
them.
Saving their energy for that game.
Yeah, well
– Antonali.
Yeah. Well, apparently they didn't rest any key players. So they've got all the – You know, mate, we rested like 3 or 4 key players. Mm. So, yeah, looks good for us.
There you go. Looks good for Newcastle. Tonali eating at the wrong places. You were saying he got stitched up by his teammates. He got sent to like a shit food chain.
Sent
like,
to Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons?
Yeah, it's like Wetherspoons is like a chain.
Yeah.
It's like the chavvy place. Like, you don't really, you know, eat there if you're a chav. but the guy working there took a photo and there was a reservation sign that said Tonali. He's like, surely not. Surely Tonali's not coming to Wetherspoons, you know, like. 300k a week.
You don't see that name often at a Wetherspoons though.
No, you don't. But sure enough, like, next photo was him with Tonali, like, hey.
I wonder if you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, the whole joke
What's
was
on the menu there?
It's just like your classic British pub food.
Okay.
Yeah, like your roast.
What
it's like
Tonali
not bad food.
Order?
It's just like, I don't know.
What do
you reckon he'd order?
Yeah. I'm sure he was.
But the
polite.
Joke was like, who sent him there? And because, like, you know, it's a very, like, British
Unless
thing
he
to
Googled,
go.
Like, places to eat near me and it's just come up
well,
first.
Well, good rating. Yeah. You know, all the locals rating.
There's
it.
A few around. It must be good.
Yeah. It'd be one of his teammates for sure. Pacino wrote in, thoughts on Milan fans booing Donnarumma while he's playing for the national team. So Milan, of course, are in the horrors because their own team got hammered. But Italy played recently the World Euro qualifiers. He gets booed because he left when he puts an Italian jersey onside or offside. People just... need to separate club and country when it's the country playing, do you think?
I get why they do it.
If a Newcastle player went to Sunderland, then he's playing for England, would you boo him?
I don't know. I think Pickford is a good example.
Right.
Like England's number one goalkeeper.
Mm.
If Newcastle fans booed him, yeah. I feel like you got to get around the play. Actually, I feel like you got to get around the players.
When it's your country, team. You got
to
let it go?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Like Pickford, I actually enjoy watching when he plays for England.
Mm. And then just boo him when he plays for his club?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if PSG...
You know what it is? If he played in
PSG
Serie A,
are about to play Milan now in the Champions League because they're in the same group.
Would,
there you go. So that's where you boo him.
Yeah, well, I feel like because he's not in the Serie A, they don't get a chance to boo him.
Yeah,
you know, like he doesn't come to the away game. Or you know? And
they Because they would be booing him at a club level
100%.
As well.
Yeah, it's not
exclusive to that.
No. Before we finish up, some other quick stories. Roma smacked Empoli for 7. Finally, Jose Mourinho's team's clicking. Lukaku scored in that game as well, which is great for him. There's one thing I quickly wanted to get your opinion on. Bit of an onside, offside. Because it happened in Italy, Frosinone, right? They're new to the Serie A. They're doing actually quite well. They beat Sassuolo and their goalkeeper made some huge saves. Like, have a look at some of the saves he made in stoppage time.
Yeah,
Crazy saves. He's on loan.
He's on loan from
Sassuolo.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And did it against his club. Because in Italy, you're allowed to play. Same thing happened in Germany. Heidenheim got their first ever Bundesliga win. The man who scored 2 goals against Werder is on loan from Werder. So this is happening in other leagues. But in the Premier League, this can't happen.
Yeah,
so the Premier League has a special rule that if you are out on loan, you can't play against your parent club. Onside or offside, players playing for another team, scoring against the club that actually owns you.
Yeah, it's offside for me. Like,
really?
Yeah. Coutinho is the best. Coutinho
he did
buying,
in the Champions League,
destroying
right?
Barcelona. Yeah. That's a great example.
Yeah,
it is offside. But at the same time, there's a lot of those like deals now where clubs are loaning players with the option to buy it. So like Hall, who's on loan from Chelsea.
Mm. Mm.
We're only loaning him for financial fair play reasons.
Right.
Not, you know?
Right.
He's technically our player. He'll be our player at the end of the season, but he can't play against you guys.
Right.
He's got
a loan on technicalities.
Exactly. He's got no intention of going back to Chelsea. Like, that's just a stopgap.
That's true.
So, in those examples, you'd go, he could play, score, take your shirt off, run around. Mm. But, yeah, there's something about that.
I like it. I think they should be able to play.
Yeah. I'm classic me on the fence. I can see both sides.
Mm.
Because on one end, like, you don't know if you're going to ever return back to that club. Like, yeah. I know we see it's a contractual thing, but, yeah. like, you often see these kind of, like, on-loan situations and they might go back but they never make the starting team. Like,
yeah.
why not make the most of every game that you play? And yeah. if that means that you're playing against the team that you are technically yeah. a part of, yeah. they're not the ones that are playing you.
Yeah.
Could you imagine as a keeper, you know, it's hard. Like, it's one position as a keeper. You miss two games a season, yeah. like, yeah. against the team who – you're
you could be
from.
Out of the squad.
You could be out of the squad. You mm. know, if that other keeper comes in, has a good couple mm. games, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So I get it, yeah.
Yeah, it's it. Well, Dinchy, this is the thing. You can do it respectfully, right?
Yeah.
So Dinchy, who was the player that scored two goals for Heidenheim against Werder this morning, mm. he, in both his goals, didn't celebrate, put his hand up, apologised. Like, no one at Werder's going to hate him because he's a good player. If anything, they'll be excited to call him back.
I rate that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
I think they should be allowed to play.
I think he's gone about that the right way.
Yeah, it adds a bit of spice.
It's good.
Not like Çalhanoğlu, who, I mean, he's not on loan, but scored against Milan and went mental when he scored great, his goal. Right? He's such a dog,
goes up, pushing the crowds and stuff.
Such a dog move. But yeah, I don't know. I want to see it happen. I love that extra little spice.
Yeah, fair.
Unfortunately, we have to wrap up.
We do.
We are at the very end. But before we wrap up, mm-hmm. I've got a question from Aesthetic Football, and we spoke a little bit about it on the pod. I'm going to get your opinion, Kat, next week because we're going to wrap up that Champions League.
Yes.
But while you're here, producer Ooh. Mish, quick one, who's winning the Champions League?
I wouldn't put it past City doing it again. It's a boring answer. It's a boring answer.
Shit.
But honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. Or even Madrid, like, could, you know, they're a cup team.
Jude?
Yeah. Jude, yeah.
Okay. My second question for you.
Dark Horse.
PSG, Milan, Newcastle, Dortmund, who gets out of the group?
I don't think PSG will.
Oh, come on. Really? With Kylian Mbappe, he's not getting out of the group.
Listen, Dan Burn masterclass on PSG. No, honestly.
A Dan Burn masterclass.
Who gets out? You and?
I would take third because then we could go on a Europa League run.
Right.
Because you know those teams who make the round of 16 get knocked out?
Yeah.
And then you're out of everything.
You'd rather Europa.
You'd rather finish third, do Europa. So I'd rather do that than like go round of 16 and get knocked out. But honestly, Milan. Yeah, Milan PSG. I haven't really even seen much of Dortmund this season.
They're struggling.
Look, for me, I'm just enjoying it because it's four of the best teams and like...
I wanted you to tell me Newcastle was topping that group.
Just say Newcastle are topping
the group. I wanted you to back
Honestly,
that.
Honestly, I think we go... It's about a home form. I reckon if we get three wins at home and then like a draw at like, you know, the San Siro, I think we'll be sweet. Yeah. about the home form.
The fact that Newcastle are going to the San Siro is fantastic.
My dad's in England. I said, go to Milan.
Yeah.
Get a flight.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I love this era of Newcastle football that we're in.
Yeah, it is fantastic to see. It's great. Can't wait for Champions League to be back. It's just something extra special when the Champions are on. Buzzing for it, guys. Thanks so much for joining us here on Born Offside. If you do follow Olan on anything, please message him and rip into him for not turning up for the show today.
He will be back as a result.
Yeah, he will be back. Oh, my producer just jumped in and did a fantastic job. Thanks so much, Kat. Good to have you back as well.
Nice to be back.
Good to have
Love
you back.
Love this place.
Make sure you follow in the pod, subscribe to us, flick us a 5-star rating if you're having a good time. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.